Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being in your house, Lord. And Father, as we think of your house, it's a safe place, a place of worship, a place to be, Lord. Thank you, Father, for who you are and for what you mean to us, Lord. And Father, we just pray that our hearts will be open to worshiping you completely, Lord, that we will set aside any distractions upon our hearts, Lord, that we will honor and glorify your holy and precious name. Lord, be with us now as we look into your word. And Father, help us, Lord, to recognize that importance of faith. And Father, when we live a life of faith, we have hope. And there's a reason for that hope. And that's found in Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us now. Use us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, good to see everybody out. Thank you so much for being in God's house with us this morning. And by the way, the service will not be done when we're finished worshiping this morning. Nicole is going to be baptized today, and we're not doing it in the baptistry where she wanted to wait for it to get a little cooler out so we could do it in the creek. So, but we wanted to invite you to come. Clint Michelle Jones has always graciously opened up and allowed me to use their creek anytime I would like to do a baptism down there. Nicole would like to be there. So just FYI, you hang a right out of the driveway from their church, go down right about 1 mile to the very first bridge there that you'll come across, which is the Morro River. And their lane is right immediately as soon as you cross that bridge. You can, if you have a vehicle, you can park up and down there. They have a very long lane. If you have a pickup truck, it's okay to go down to
the left side,
yes. Yeah, your right side gets a little wet. Yeah, but there's a hay field out there. You're welcome to park out there. So you come and be a part of that, and we'll do that as close to 12 o'clock is what we can do. That gives us free to be able to get down there and get all set up. So we're looking forward to that. But thank you for being here. And Bill, thank you very much. Where'd you go? Where's Bill? Bill and Barb. Oh, Bill. Yeah, Jenkins. Yeah, there is Bill and Barb Jenkins. Yeah, I didn't realize that Bill could sing until about a few weeks ago. We had Ville Marie worship time, and Barb always plays our piano, and Bill did our special music. And then I told him that your secret was out, and look at that, within 2 weeks you got recruited to sing at church. So pretty cool. Thank you, Varela, for that. Hi, Jeanette. Yes, great to see you. Amen. Pray. Thank you, Jeanette. God bless you. Yeah, Jeanette and Phil knows how close to death that she was just not long ago at all, and how God has been able to move in her life. We're just so thankful for that. It has mystified the doctors of the progress that she's made. Praise God. Thank you so much for giving God that testimony. In fact, you know, these are great. That's a great testimony about God's greatness. Because even in the midst of most difficult situations, we as Christians, we who are born-again believers, we have hope. And there is a reason why we have hope. And if you would like to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be talking about the reason for hope. You know, last week we were able to learn about the holiness of Christian marriage. And as we review chapter 3, we realize that this passage is essentially a summary of Peter's discourse up until that time is in this letter. It's about recognizing and living in righteousness. To live right, we have to, and we learn through this book so far, is that we have to submit to God. We also recognize to live right, we have to submit to the emperor, those who are a political authority over us. We also realize that to live right, we have to submit to our bosses at work. We also realize that to live right, we must, as we learned last week, if we're husbands and wives, we must submit to each other in reverence for Christ. And when we seek to live righteous lives for the Lord, that's when we realize that we have hope. You know, Peggy Eckerts, we were praying for her family. Strong, committed Christian woman. She, and when the guys were singing and the musicians were playing, it reminded me, she really loved Southern gospel music. She loved to play, and she loved to listen to it very much. And I know that she's in her eternal reward, but she had hope. She was on her deathbed for the last week, but she never lost sight of her faith and her trust and her hope in the Lord. Friends, when we become children of God, we have hope. Hope is hope despite the challenges that come in life, despite a bad liver that comes up unbeknownst to us and no reason for it, but all of a sudden we have this issue. Hope despite being uncomfortable, and hope despite our sufferings. And there's no one in this church today that is exempt from having sufferings and difficulties in their lives. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his wife, they were forced to move out of their village and out of their home, and they were in desperation. They had to flee from their homes, and they ended up in another small village inn, homeless and desperate with losing all their earthly possessions. Mrs. Gerhardt began to break down, and she cried, and her heart was broken, and her heart was in despair. And her husband, Pastor Gerhardt, then came to her, and he began to share with her some beautiful scriptures and to encourage her about the true living God and the provisions that God provides and brings. Then, after she finally settled back down and went to sleep, he then went out to the garden of the inn that they were staying at, and he broke down. His heart was crushed. In fact, he felt like his darkest hour had come. But soon, after he began to pour out his heart to the Lord, and as he cried and as he prayed, Gerhardt felt a burden that was finally lifted. And he sensed that everything became anew for him, because he felt like he was in the presence of the Lord. And God inspired him to write something down. And so he took his pen and he wrote down an old hymn that's not sung all that much now, but yet still a beautiful, powerful hymn. And he wrote down these words: "Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears away. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day." It's often in our darkest times that God makes his presence as greatly known to us. He uses our sufferings, he uses our troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see his truth, just like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive a new hope. Remember the Christians that were receiving Peter's letter. They were struggling. They were struggling physically. They were struggling emotionally. People were trying to kill them. They were being ridiculed and they were being abused. But they still maintained hope. Friends, sometimes it seems like that's how life plays out for us, doesn't it? It just seems like everything is against us. We lose people we love. We get diagnosed with terrible diseases. Relationships seem to crumble and seems unrepairable. We struggle with the bills and we just feel depressed. And then here your pastor stands right before you and says, if you belong to Jesus, you have hope despite all that stuff. But we do. But what is the reason for our hope? And this morning, we're going to explore that exact question. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 13 of God's holy word. If you open your Bibles and read with me as we revere the Lord in the reading of his word. "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, it's only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you and praise you for this passage of scripture, Lord. And Father, as we read through it, there's some complexities in this passage that it's not easy for us to hear and to understand. But Lord, we pray that you will provide us clarity through the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand and help us, Lord, to apply to our lives. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us now. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, if we look at verse 13, 13 provides a question. Perhaps it's a rhetorical question, but it says this: who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Well, essentially it says, if you belong to God and devoted to him and are committed to doing good for him, who can or will bring harm to you? Now, that's not a test question, because it wouldn't take you very long to find out the answer to that. Of course not. No one can do that, right? But if you're devoted to God and you're devoted to being a righteous person and doing good for God, a righteous person seeks always to do what is right. Alexander de Seversky was a U.S. aviator and engineer, and he was injured during the war. He was once visiting a young fellow flyer in the hospital, and this young flyer had lost his leg. Diversky, who also had an artificial leg, he had it for some time, he came and met with this young man and was trying to help encourage him. And then he says this. He says, the loss of a leg is not such a great calamity, he said. He says, if you get hit in the wooden leg, it doesn't hurt a bit. Then he told the young patient friend, he said, raise your walking stick and give it a swat. And so the boy does that and hits him as hard as he could on his leg. And then Seversky says, you see, cheerfully, if you hit an ordinary man like that, he'd be in bed for 5 days. And with that, he limps out with his wooden leg out into the hallways where he collapses. Because that young man didn't hit his wooden leg, he hit his good leg. But he had the right intentions. You see, my friends, sometimes when we're committed to doing the right thing, it becomes painful for us too. And despite the pain, God still needs us to be doing good for him. When we're doing good for God, there's no one that can effectively stand against you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, God's word says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. How many of you like to give up? You know, there's some of us that will never give up. You know, we just keep on plugging away. But then there's others that just at the thought of adversity, we'll just say, we'll roll over and play dead on that. But God's people, we don't give up. We don't give up when there's doing good for God. Even though we know that somebody could hit our good leg, even though we know that there'll be sufferings in store for us when we stand up and live the life that brings honor to God, we still must never give up doing good for God. Friends, don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't give up doing good for God. So when we are doing good for God and we're suffering, why shouldn't we give up? Because we have an encouragement and God's truth that we see in 4 points of our focal passage. And if you can follow through and fill in the blanks as we go along with them with the notes in the bulletin, I appreciate if you could do that so you can hear and write them down as well. But let's explore these 4 points. First of all, it's this focus. Believers in Christ have hope. And we have hope because, first of all, we are blessed. We are blessed. One morning, R.C. Chapman, who is a devout Christian, he was asked how he was feeling. He said, I'm burdened. I'm so burdened this morning. But he said that with a wonderful, beautiful countenance on his face, and he was all joyous and happy. And every aspect of his life contradicted the very words that he said in his mouth. So the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" He said, "Well, yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overburden of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Seeing the puzzled look at the face of his friend, Chapman then smiled. "I'm referring to Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits." In fact, if you open up your Bible to Psalm 68, 19, the NIV says this. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." If God is bearing our burdens every single day, why are we then trying to burden? We don't have to carry burdens twice. We don't have to have God carry our burdens plus us choose to carry them either. In fact, the other translations that we see says that he daily loads us with benefits. Not only does he carry our burdens, but he gives us the benefits of being a child of God. Are you thankful that God bears your burdens daily? Do you realize that this truth is even in the Bible? Because I tell you, some of the times when I choose to live my life, sometimes I forget that passage is there. Sometimes as I deal with many of the folks who are struggling and suffering, they forget that even exists as well. But what a beautiful blessing. Do you hear God? Do you let God bear your burden so that you can experience his blessings? Because if we're buried and overburdened with carrying up our burdens, how are we going to have the blessings that God wants us to have in our lives? Have you been choosing burdens over blessings? See, that's an attitude issue. And Peter is reminding us that type of an attitude is not healthy for us. In verse 14, our focal passage, it says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threat. Do not be frightened." Do you see sufferings for blessings? Friends, if you suffer for doing good for God, then keep your head up. Don't become discouraged. Don't become afraid. Don't compromise doing what's right by doing evil so you can possibly reduce some of your suffering. Verse 17, our focal passage, goes on, "For it is better, if it's God's will, for to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Sometimes it looks so much easier to do what the world is doing, to be as negative as the world is, to have the attitude of the world, to be involved in all the things that the world is doing, but that's sometimes the easy way out because that's what the crowds are doing. But God's word says, don't do that. If it's God's will, be willing to suffer. Your suffering does not trump God's will. It's far better for us to suffer for God's perfect will than it is to compromise and to do evil. When we live a blessed life in Christ, even in our sufferings, we live in hope. Believers in Christ have hope for a second reason, because we keep a clear conscience. When we do good for God, we're doing his will. And when we do his will and refuse to do evil, God is honored and glorified, and we maintain a clear conscience. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln was president. He was a president under fire, especially during the scarring years of the Civil War. And though he knew he would make errors of office, he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was his resolve that he once said, "I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I've lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend will be down deep inside of me." Always true to himself. And we can always be true to ourselves as long as our truth is rooted in God himself. You see, the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit should provide the guidance and direction and the comfort of our lives consistent with the Word of God. Christian, the moment that happens, there's something special in our life. We have to live our life to honor God, especially since God lives in us. Verse 16 of our focal point passage says, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Not only is keeping a clear conscience and good and right and also honoring to God, it also protects our character and our integrity. The Christian Standard Bible interprets this verse from the original manuscript as this. It says, yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that when you're accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. It merges the last part of verse 15 and verse 16, like from the NIV or the King James. So the continuation of thought is, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. So our hope is found in this clear conscience. And that clear conscience must be lived with gentleness and respect. And that's not something we just see words on a piece of paper. We're actually seeing gentleness and respect that has been lived out as an example to us by Jesus Christ himself. Gentleness and respect is the defining qualities of Christ and his character. If Jesus lived with gentleness and respect, we should also. And we certainly know that Jesus most certainly lived that way. And as a result, we should too. People should see us with gentleness. People should see us with respect and reverence and doing the right thing. Honesty, truth, all those things that goes along with what respect means. Does people see you as a gentle and kind and respectful person? Do they see you as that person of respect that God calls us to be? When we live with gentleness and respect, that's when we represent God. We will conduct ourselves in doing good for God. People will see the outward expression of God that is in us. And when we live rightly, when we live in good conscience of living a life that God has set out for us, people will have little to accuse us of because we live in such good conduct that we represent Christ. We must live, Christian, above accusation. How do we do that? Well, by living according to God's word. I remember when I was a youth minister, and that's been more years than I can remember, really. But I had a favorite verse. It was Psalm 119, verse 9. And it says this, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. A pure life and a life of good conscience of the Lord rests with living according to God's holy and inerrant word. Do you keep a clear conscience with gentleness and respect and in good conduct to Christ? We do that by living according to God's word. If you're not doing it, if you're not living according to his word, well, you know, that's a challenge then. So for when we live in God's word, we keep a clear conscience and we live in hope. Believers in Christ have hope because of a third thing. Because we are alive by the Spirit. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in his body, but made alive in the Spirit. Verse 18 gives us tremendous hope. In verse 18, we see the gospel of Christ summarized in 4 points. Christ suffered once for all sins. Christ died for our sins. And Christ suffered and died by bringing us to God. So there was a reason about his death. And then finally, the fourth point is Christ is made alive in the Spirit. We have hope, friends, because we serve a living Savior. The other religions have the small g gods. They say that they had lived, but every one of them have died. Ours died, but he didn't stay dead. He actually is alive. For Jesus is alive through the Spirit. This little verse is powerful. It tells us that Jesus died once and for all sin. As believers in Christ, we must live a life that is also dead to sin. Sin leads to death, but Jesus, he leads to life. Jesus took on all the sin on the cross, and he personally took it, and he killed it. Jesus sacrificed his lifeblood so that we can have the hope of life, because it had to be paid for, and the penalties of sin had to be paid for, and he did it. Jesus sacrificed his lifeblood so that we can have the hope of life, and that's eternal life through Jesus. And when we die to sin and live for Jesus, we become alive in the Spirit. That, my friends, is a real reason for hope, to be alive in Jesus and to live in the Spirit. See, believers in Christ have hope for a fourth reason, and that reason is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verses 21 and 22 says, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Excuse me. Now, this passage is not literally meaning that baptism is what saves us. He clearly is speaking about the clear conscience that we receive through Jesus Christ, found in the power of the resurrection. Baptism is simply the outward expression of what we have chosen to do, which is what he's talking about here. The power of the resurrection is what saves. Now, Peter goes even deeper to explain the hope of life in Christ and living in the Spirit is possible because of a supernatural event that we refer to as the resurrection of Jesus. As Vice President George Bush represented the United States at the funeral of former Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev, Bush was deeply moved in a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's wife, our widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until the seconds before it was closed. Then, just as the soldiers approached the casket to close it, she simply made a sign of the cross over her husband's chest. You know, there's a citadel of secular atheistic power. The wife of this man who had run this whole Soviet Union. She hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life, and that the husband was terribly wrong about that. And this life that is represented by Jesus, who died on the cross, who was buried and rose from the grave. And that same Jesus might yet have mercy on her husband. That was what her hope was. Friends, you and I both know that the truth of Scripture, that Jesus certainly is that hope. But you must claim that hope before you die. For once you die and you fail to claim Jesus as Lord, then it's everlasting too late. And we can be reminded of that because we can see a glimpse of when Jesus gave us the story of that rich man who went to Hades and the excruciatingly painful experience that he had. Doesn't matter how good, doesn't matter how evil a person was or how much money they might have, if they fail to repent of their sin, if they refuse to accept Jesus as God the Son, if they fail to accept his life, death, and resurrection for our sins, if they fail to make Jesus the Lord and absolute authority of their life, they will die and they will spend eternity in a real and torturous place called hell. Sign of the cross over a dead person that died without Christ, it does nothing. The Mormons baptize in proxy, but that does nothing. People have funerals over those who've failed to call upon the name of Jesus, and they talk about that loved one being in heaven, but that's simply a lie, and that does nothing. Only when we accept the hope of the resurrected Jesus personally do we have the hope for our own resurrection, eternal reward in heaven. Jesus didn't just go through the motion for salvation's sake. Jesus really suffered, and he suffered for you and me. And if we belong to Jesus, we must expect to suffer because our Lord suffered. Jesus really did die a gruesome death to pay the debt of sin that you and I could never pay on our own. Jesus really was buried as a dead man. And in 3 days later, he rose from the dead and remains alive. For Jesus gives us true hope found in a resurrected Savior. Knowing that we deserve death because of our sins, but choosing to receive the gift of eternal life through his atoning death and resurrection. That, my friends, is our reason for hope. It's also our reason for eternal life. I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand with me as the musicians come, and I'll ask them to begin to play softly when they take their places. Let me ask, you can bow your heads, close your eyes. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you know today the real reason for hope? Has God revealed something to you today? Do you know the hope of Jesus Christ? Do you know the hope that his resurrection gives to us? Do you know that Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior? If not, and you desire to have the hope of Jesus, then I don't do this very often in our service, but I'm going to have a special prayer. Reminds me of the prayer that Nicole a few weeks ago prayed when she accepted Christ. She's going to be baptized today. You know what, friends? If you accept Christ today and present it to the church, there's no reason why you can't be baptized right beside Nicole today as well, if that's what God's moving into your heart to do. But this prayer talks about everything this message talked about, the reason why we have hope. And if you today want to take with you the hope of Jesus Christ, I'm going to say this prayer. If you'll say it along with me and mean it with your heart, you will be saved. Let's pray together. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Father, please forgive me of my sin. I choose to turn away from sin, and I choose to turn to Jesus. Today, I no longer want to live in sin. I want to live in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is God the Son. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried, and I believe he rose from the grave 3 days later. I want Jesus to be the Lord and absolute authority of my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. Today, my friends, there is no excuse because you have heard the truth, you have heard the word of God, and you know the reason for true hope. We are blessed and we have hope even in the midst of our suffering. You may be going through a terribly difficult time of your life. You don't know how you're going to survive it. The suffering is great, but God never abandons you. He will always be with you. Today we have hope because we are alive in Christ and we live in the Spirit. And praise God for the true power of hope through our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. If you would like to publicly profess Christ as your Lord, follow in believers' baptism, unite with our church, or if there's a burden that's on your heart right now, the sufferings are overwhelming to you and you just need to allow God to take those burdens that he does every day. And you instead take on the blessings that he offers. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you mean to us, Lord, and thank you for the truths of your word. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to accept you as Lord and Savior or make any type of decision, Lord, give us the courage to step forward right now. We thank you and praise you in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Pat, we're going to sing page number
18.
If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come right now as we sing.
Father, we
Oh,
And as I said earlier, please, if you can come with us to the baptism right after church, please feel free to do that. I'll turn it over to you, brother.
All right. Go ahead and have a seat. Got a few. It won't take too long. Just gives the water time to warm up a little bit more for Nicole. So, Fish Friday night, 5:30. You've heard us talk about it. Be here. There's lots of food. Bring a dish if you can. If you can't, bring your appetite. Bring somebody with you. We'll have plenty to eat. And come on out. You know, if you need ideas on what to bring, apple pie, blackberry cobbler, coleslaw, just throwing some things out there. So anyway, next Sunday is Global Hunger Day. Alex mentioned a little bit. We're praying about that, about what to give, talking about food, and we're going to have plenty to eat tonight. But you know, there's folks out there that don't have plenty to eat sometimes, all around the world. So be praying about what you can give to that. And just as a side note, if you know, for whatever reason you don't have funds with you next week, you can always go to Tithely. For our online giving, if you've shopped on Amazon, you can do this, because I've done it and I made it, so it's not that hard. Grief share today at 4:00 has moved up, I believe, on account of the fish fry, so that time has changed. A WOM meeting Tuesday at 1:00. Let's see, choir practice has moved up today to 4:30. Choir practice is starting for the Christmas program. Come on out. It don't even matter if you can sing or not, they'll let you play along anyway, so come and make a noise. Let's see, business meeting next Sunday after the PM service, next Sunday evening. Samaritan's Purse, you'll see the shoeboxes back there. Ashley was carrying them in. I thought maybe she found a sale at Kohl's or something, but no, it's Samaritan's Purse. And this is a ministry that gives kids around the world, gives them an opportunity to understand what Christmas is that they may not know much about Christmas. So if you have any questions, see Ashley about that. I'm sure she can answer all of them. Halloween Trunk and Treats coming up. That's a big ministry we have. You're all familiar with it, most of you probably, in Russellville around Halloween. So just put that on your calendar, and there's a donation box in the back. Start bringing candy. And Hayride will be Saturday the 26th. Hayride and Winnie Roast here to church at 5:00. We'll have plenty of tractors and wagons and hot dogs and everything. So come be. And there again, bring somebody with you. That's your only ticket to get in. You got to have somebody to come along. So anyway, come be a part of that. And I don't have anything else. Does anybody have anything I've missed? Oh, my mistake. Okay. Good thing, because I missed that. Normally, grief shares at 4. Today, it's at 3 to account for the fish fry. So, thank you. All righty. Anything else? All right. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. And like I said, come on down to the creek and then join in a great time there. That's going to be a good thing to see. So, come be a part of that. Mike Thompson, would you close us, please?